Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Who's better at this job of radio?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Jeff Lutz.
Really good to great, you know, depending on the day.
Wow! Hey! Isn't that exciting?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's showtime, baby! You'll go wacko, bananas, nuts, crazy, unbelievable!
Hello again, everybody. Welcome. It's a Monday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. We're here. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host. And Max Powers back from a two-week extended vacation to produce and engineer the show. We welcome Max back. Cooler temperatures, nice little rain over the weekend. Feels like a different time and place since
Friday.
Good
time for cooler temperatures because our AC unit crapped out Friday.
Uh-oh. What, is that still under warranty?
Yeah, but we got to pay for labor.
Well, did the labor come out yet?
Not yet. The part is not yet available.
Well, when's the part available?
Next week.
Next week?
Yeah, it's like a 7 and 9 day process or something like that.
Who put that in? Joe's car wash? What's going on?
Might as well have been.
I mean, there's a...
And our builders didn't register it, of course, because our builders didn't do anything correctly. So we barely made the warranty. If they had registered it, we'd have a 10-year warranty.
Well, that's just crazy. What are they doing?
I don't know.
I've never heard of needing a part on a HVAC unit and having to wait 7 to 9 days for it.
Well, thankfully, we can open the windows. We can run the fans. It's not going to be too hot over the next... I mean, it's not getting hotter, right? It can only get cooler, I assume.
No,
as we
it's
get
getting hotter.
Deeper into, I mean, overall, I know it's going to be hotter than today, but 80s, really?
Do you not check the weather? 82, 82, 78, 79, 81, 82, and then 72. You're going to be okay.
Yeah, the lows are in the 50s, so we'll be all right.
The lows will be great.
Exactly.
The lows will be fantastic. It's those high in the 80s that you're going to have to deal with.
Right, but we're not home for most of that.
Well, the cats are.
Cats are fine. They found
the
they
kitchen
find
remodel
spots.
Is underway. You doubted it?
No, I didn't.
You wondered about it, and it's
not really.
It's happening.
I knew it was going to happen. I'll just leave it at that.
What do you mean?
I knew it was going to happen.
You didn't know why it was going to happen.
Yeah, basically.
Why do you still need to be convinced?
I don't.
Where's my friend Jason Duda when I need him?
I don't need to be convinced. It's not my problem. It's not my issue.
Look how that puppy's going
to
look
when it's
done.
Oh, it looks incredible.
Floor's going to be a little different.
What are you going to make? What's your first meal you're going to make in the new kitchen?
That's not important.
Why?
The ambiance. We're going to have a nice new dining set. It's going to look, we're going to have a lot more storage, a lot more cabinetry, some quartz countertop, laminate.
Quartz?
Yeah, quartz. It's going to look great.
Isn't that the stuff they make watches out of?
You're so uneducated about most things.
Like quartz? Is that a?
Of course it is.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah,
counters?
It overtook granite.
Oh, how about that?
But now granite's making a little... I've had all this explained to me.
Quartz countertops. I guess it's a real thing.
Why do you doubt me?
I don't doubt you. I doubt why. I just doubt...
What do you mean you doubt why?
I just doubt why. I mean, why? Why do we need quartz countertops? Why do we need anything, really?
Why don't you go live somewhere where you can just live off the land?
Oh, man, I wish I could.
No, you don't. You'd last 4 days.
If I could go grocery shopping, it'd be better.
Yeah.
But I don't need a lot.
What do you need?
Nothing.
Really?
Not much.
You need more than anybody I've ever known.
I need a bed and a way to watch baseball. That's really about it.
Well, you wouldn't have that living off the land.
Oh, I'd bring my satellite with me. I'd bring my Wi-Fi hotspot.
You'd be dead in a month.
Well, there's upside to that, too.
All right, we had a big football weekend. Not very prosperous here in the state for our two college teams. And the Chiefs got out of Atlanta with a win. The picks continue to be pretty bad, especially for yours truly. Another 2-6 week. Thank goodness for the bonus game, because that's the only game I can get right. I didn't put nearly enough points on it.
What'd you put? Five? Four?
Only three. You put seven. You had a 2-6 week, but you got 17 points to my 9. Duda had a 3-5 week is all, but he had 19 points because he got a 10 out of the Tennessee win.
See, that's the way to do it.
Max was just 1-7, but did get the Tennessee game.
Did we all pick Tennessee?
No. So Max has 7 points for the week, and the big fella was 2-6 as well, but missed the OU-Tennessee game for 7. So 2-6 results in 4 points.
Not great.
Just awful.
Some weird outcomes again this week.
None of us can pick.
Well, none of us.
Is Vegas just getting, because we're, you know, I've proven myself to be a pretty good picker. Is Vegas just getting richer and richer this year? Is everybody struggling with this?
I don't know that Vegas is getting richer. They're just staying rich. I don't think.
No, they're getting richer. If we're any indication, we were a combined on the 8 games we picked, 4, 7, 8, 10, and 12, 17, 24.
30.
That's getting richer.
They're rich already.
If that's
there aren't degrees of rich in Vegas.
The betting people in the country are doing, they are flourishing.
Speaking of Vegas.
No, we're not talking about the Eagles. Nobody cares, Jeff.
Yeah, they do.
You're the only one who cares. No one cares.
Yeah, they do.
No.
Yes, they do.
Our audience doesn't care.
Yeah,
After an NFL Sunday.
I hear from people.
No, you don't.
Yes,
you don't,
I do.
You don't hear from anybody.
Yeah, I do. I heard from Brad.
Yeah, one guy said, hey, I saw Hotel California.
Yeah.
You better not look at it. Nobody cares.
See, look at you.
Nobody cares.
Why are you snooping on my page?
Nobody cares.
Just don't do that anymore.
Don't bring it up the first thing on a Monday.
I just said, speaking of Vegas.
Yeah, there's too much else going on.
Your Raiders lost to the Panthers. That's what I was going to say.
Nobody else cares.
Your Raiders got blasted.
Trying to sneak the Eagles in.
I was talking about the Raiders.
No, you weren't.
I just did.
It's a pathetic attempt. Because, honestly.
I'm sorry that your Raiders aren't good.
What do you have to say? They're doing the same
set list. Andy Dalton? No, they put those shoes back in.
Big deal.
Did you watch any of the...
Don't care.
Oh, my God. You don't care?
No.
Well, I do, and I can't wait to go. And I'm excited.
I could go to Vegas and play at the Sphere, and they could do a bunch of elaborate pyro and screen stuff.
In front of 0 people.
And it'd be just the same.
No, stop. Get over it. What are you even talking about? It'd be just the same as what?
It just upsets me that you're just so obsessed with that.
Well, I don't care if you're upset or if I'm obsessed. Or if you're obsessed.
I don't get it.
If I'm upset.
What's the obsession?
What do you mean obsession? It's something I enjoy. Why does that bother you so much?
Well, why on a Monday?
Because they just performed over the weekend.
Football and baseball. And everything that matters to this show and our audience.
False.
What are you going to bring up?
I wasn't going to bring up anything.
Speaking of Vegas, they played Vegas.
It looked like a wonderful show.
Okay, there you go.
And I'm excited. I'm excited
Nobody
to go.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, they do.
Name one person.
Why would they be listening to this show if they didn't care somewhat about the personalities on it after this
long? I just can't fathom that anybody tuned in today wondering how you feel about
it. No one's wondering. I hope they talk Giants-Browns. Either.
I'm not talking Giants, Brian.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
I'm talking Chiefs.
Fine, talk Chiefs.
The defensiveness of Chiefs people on Twitter. Stop it, Chiefs.
What are they saying?
My friend unknown user seems to... Listen, there's bad calls in every football game, no question. But when you make a call like was not made last night on the obvious pass interference in the end zone, where the Falcons are within striking distance of winning that game, and your reaction is, well, we got three penalties on the next set. Well, whatever. We would have had time to go kick a few. Whatever. Just live with the fact that they made a blunder, a no call of an obvious pass interference that may have won you that football game. Just accept it. Move on.
Well, we know Max is going to accept it, but not really move on.
Just admit it. Now, was there a roughing? Did Chris Jones rough the passer? I thought probably, but it could have not been called. These games are so subjective. There's rules, of course, but is there a more subjective call in any sport than pass interference?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of calls in the NFL are subjective. What's pass interference? Even sometimes what's holding? What's roughing? What's a catch? It's a subjective game a lot of
the times. I watched one of the games yesterday where a guy came in and tackled the quarterback low. Didn't do anything wrong that I saw. They called him for roughing the passer. You can pick and choose in pretty much every game you watch. But last night, come on, Chiefs fan, come on. Just come on. It's okay. You're 3-0. Next week, it might be you that benefits from that kind of a call. Well, you did benefit. It might be a call that goes against you. Who knows? But
well, a lot of anti-Chiefs people are saying, what call has ever gone against the Chiefs?
I don't listen to that either.
We've seen it in the Super Bowl. We've seen it on national television.
I don't listen to that either. What I do say is last night, because I don't tabulate at all.
But you know, you can
I don't know.
Point back to some of these instances.
I can't point back. What I can say is last night it was pass interference that wasn't called.
So is that what our listeners want?
And the Chiefs got the ball back and ran out the clock, where the Falcons should have had the ball at the one. Now, the Falcons did get the ball back, had a chance on fourth and short, ran a sweep play or an outside, trying to get the runner outside. The most inane call ever. That wasn't going to work from the time Kirk Cousins took the snap. That was smelled out by the Chiefs. What's their linebacker's name? Bolton. He read that. That was never going to work. It was a dumb call. You needed less than a yard. Run the ball up the middle.
Well, they called the play they called. I was asleep
by
then.
I know you were. I can tell. You don't have an opinion.
I wouldn't have had an opinion anyway.
Everybody has an opinion.
Not really. It's the Falcons.
They could just stay up and watch the game.
Well, I can't stay up and watch the game.
Well, I can.
Good.
And so I have opinions.
Air them out.
869-1240. If you'd like to call. And we're going to get Blair Kirkhoff on the show at 3:25 today to talk about the Chiefs. Tomorrow we'll have Adam Teicher. We're going to load you down with Chiefs talk this week. At 2:45 today, Tim Fitzgerald will try to explain what happened in that K-State loss. They just fell apart. Did you watch that one?
Of course I was asleep.
You were asleep at...
10 o'clock? Yeah.
You didn't watch that game?
I think it was 6-0 when I went to bed. I felt good about it.
Well, I got to have a co-host.
I woke up 38-9. What in the world happened?
I got to have a co-host who can talk.
Well, I already know what's wrong with K-State. We saw it in the first few games. They don't turn their weapons loose. They make Avery Johnson
a
pocket passer, and he's not. They need to formulate an offense that plays to their
strengths. BYU's pretty good, and they had a packed house, and they're to be reckoned
with. In retrospect, that was a terrible pick by everybody who picked K-State.
Well, you did it, and I did it.
I think,
and Duda's the only one who didn't.
Well, he was smart.
He's also the only one who didn't pick Nebraska. He's also one of two
Who didn't pick KU?
Well, he did pick Oklahoma State, so he messed up there. But he and Max are the only two who picked West Virginia. He's the only one that picked BYU. He had a pretty good week.
And what did you say his record was?
Well, he lost every NFL game, so he went 3-5. He did get his bonus pick right with Tennessee for 10 points.
Not a terrible week for dudes.
Oh, he won the week.
Yeah, but it's all relative, right?
Well, but no, it's not relative. He won the week.
Okay, but if he had won the week at 4 points and made no headway in the standings, then that's not a good week.
No, he won the week.
If you, there's no, if what you win you the week, winning it's a the good week. Week. What do you get for winning the week?
If you win a game on an air, it's about winning.
Yeah, like you did Saturday and Sunday.
By the way, how'd you feel about
we
that?
We gifted you,
you
two
come
games.
Come into our house and we beat the pants off.
Yeah, you beat the pants off.
Two out of three.
No, we outscored you for the series.
Two out of three.
Yeah, we gave you two games. I don't know why we didn't go with our best relievers yesterday with a day off today. I guess they're just trying to get them rest.
They pitched Saturday.
I don't think so.
Yeah, the left-hander and the right-hander.
Cade Smith pitched?
Yeah, he pitched.
On Saturday? I don't know.
The left-hander pitched.
Tim Herron.
But, you know, you couldn't hit Andre Pallante.
Yeah, he sucks.
No, he doesn't. He's pitched very well.
I'm tired of him.
And I don't care what you do. I will always have two out of three this year from you.
Oh, good.
Cardinals beat the Guardians.
Cardinals beat the world champs, two out of three.
I don't think you look quite like a world champion.
Not in that series. No, we didn't. But again, we didn't pitch Cade Smith.
Watching you play for three.
And we didn't pitch Emmanuel Clase.
You don't have enough firepower in your lineup.
We got plenty.
Your starting pitching did pretty well. But you don't have enough. That lineup's not.
It doesn't matter.
That lineup ain't going nowhere,
just
man.
Just score two runs, we'll be fine.
That lineup ain't going nowhere.
You don't know what you're talking about. Why do I need the lineup to score eight when I can score two?
I feel like I do know what I'm talking
about.
But
you don't. How does playoff baseball work? I score two, I bring in my bullpen ball game.
You're going to be facing better pitchers than Miles Michaelis. You couldn't do anything with Miles Michaelis.
You're not going to be facing that much better pitching.
What do you mean? He had a 5.5 ERA.
Who cares?
Shut you down.
Two runs, we win.
My goodness. I mean, if you can't hit Miles Michaelis.
Two runs, and we win.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, because that wasn't our team. We benched a bunch of guys.
No, you didn't. You played your regulars.
Not yesterday.
Well, the only one who didn't play was Lane Thomas.
Manzardo didn't play.
Manzardo's not a regular.
Yes, he is.
Oh.
Jimenez didn't play. Quan is out. Who else didn't play? Bo Naylor didn't play. Rocchio didn't play. He might have, but they have four or five regulars out of the lineup.
You don't have any regulars. Those guys are all platoon people.
Well, David Fry didn't play either, so there's
your... He did. He came in the ninth, and Ryan Helsley made him look like Glenn Fry at the plate.
We started Miles Straw, so...
And he's the only guy who did anything.
Don't go running to the trophy
case. And we dominated. That was a good feel-good series.
Good.
For me.
You know what it was for me? A blip on the way to the playoffs.
You are in the playoffs. I'll give you that, and good luck.
And we celebrated Saturday, and who cares about Sunday?
By the way, that division outside of the Tigers, you talk about limping to the finish line.
And the Guardians.
My goodness. Well, they're limping. They lost 2 of 3
to the
Cardinals.
They're 90-67.
Royals can't win a game, nor can the Twins. Detroit's going to get into the playoffs, and I'm not sure – I'm not sure. I guess
Seattle. Seattle's only two out.
They lost the game they shouldn't have lost.
They got Houston now.
Nobody seems to want in.
I don't know. The Astros
except
lost.
Detroit. Are you going to finally say something positive about the Tigers?
I'm not.
They are remarkable.
They've been playing great. They'll run out of juice.
The White Sox, the final three, I think they have... Who do they have these next three? They have a test, but then they get the White Sox.
Well, they had Baltimore. I don't know who they have next.
I'll look, because that's what I do.
I know we have Cincinnati and then Houston. Our magic number's two.
They have the Rays and then the White Sox, both at home.
Yeah, Rays aren't.
They're
really
going to go 6-0.
Maybe they'll go at least 3-3.
They'll go at least 5-1.
They're not going to lose to the White Sox.
White Sox have tied the Mets now for all-time futility with 120 losses. 6 games left to go. They're going to set a record that will never be broken.
Besides Detroit, because they could finish plausibly 90 games under 500 if they don't
win. Does it really matter who they have? They have the Angels.
They'll probably beat the Angels once or twice. The Angels are pathetic. Although they did beat Houston yesterday, and we appreciate that.
Angels are still fighting out there.
I guess.
Yeah, they put up a fight.
Ron Washington,
you know,
hasn't
didn't put
trying.
Up a fight? Cleveland Guardians.
Right, because we had celebrated and don't care. But I'm glad you succeeded.
The great weekend series for me.
I'm glad you succeeded against the B lineup of the Guardians.
I enjoyed it.
We had Miles Straw and Austin Hedges in the lineup.
Yeah, we had Michael Ciani and Pedro Páez.
Both good.
Yeah, they're really good. All right, time for a break. When we come back, we'll pick this up. We'll talk some more about the weekend in the NFL. It's the Bob and Jeff Show. Max Power back in the studio producing. Back in a minute.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
We're back, and big news breaking all around us. Conference realignment. Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports reporting that Memphis, Tulane, and South Florida have announced a commitment to remain in the American Athletic Conference. Those schools were all being pursued by the new Pac-12, and it sounds like the Pac-12 was not willing to pay enough of the $25 million exit fee. So it looks like those schools are going to remain in the AAC. Meanwhile, Brett McMurphy is reporting that Gonzaga is leaving the West Coast Conference to join the Pac-12 as a basketball-only member school.
I'm not sure that's an upgrade.
What do you mean? Getting Gonzaga?
Gonzaga.
That's a basketball powerhouse.
Right. It's not an upgrade for Gonzaga, is what I'm saying.
Well, I would disagree with
you. They got BYU, St. Mary's in the West.
No, BYU's in the Big 12.
Whatever.
Think these things through.
Who else is in there?
They've got St. Mary's, Pepperdine, San Francisco. It's an okay. This is a much.
I don't know about that. San Jose
State. They're playing
State.
San Diego State now.
That's
Washington
decent.
State, Oregon State. This is a big step up from the West Coast Conference. And this is just the latest move. Still talk out there. Who knows where this is all headed. But for now, those of us here in Wichita can breathe a little sigh of relief, because if Memphis, Tulane, and South Florida had left this conference, you'd be left with not a whole lot.
It's interesting that the Pac-12 wasn't willing to pay the exit fee. What are you doing? What are you trying to build over there? Who are you going to pay?
Well, it's a $25 million exit fee.
I understand.
When you're talking about three schools, that's $75 million.
It sure is, but what was
there? That was always going to be a sticking point.
But what was their plan? What's the plan here?
That's their plan.
They had to know.
These are negotiations.
They had to know what the exit fee was before they...
Sure they did.
And so why...
And they talked to them, and they...
I'm not seeing much of a plan.
They decided... okay, you're not seeing much of a plan.
For the Pac-12.
This is just negotiation. This is, they've already secured four schools.
Right, they need two
and
more.
And then you add Gonzaga, and they'll add two more.
In football, at least.
And they'll, you know, you still got UNLV, which looks like it's been targeted. You got Air Force. You got New Mexico. You've got Texas San Antonio, which is an AAC member and seems to be now on that next list of schools that the Mountain West could look at bringing in.
Pac-12.
At the you know what I mean.
Well, whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
Oh, you messed up, I messed up, everybody messes up, who cares?
What are you so defensive about?
Not defensive.
Today?
Just perplexed.
About?
Why are you thinking this Pac-12 thing is anything? It's a nothing conference still to me.
Okay, good.
In basketball, better. Yeah, you get Gonzaga. Show me something in football. Show me a commitment. If you're not willing to pay for Memphis and Tulane and South Florida, who would be good gets, especially South Florida, an untapped Tampa market that no one really seems to care about, then I like that. But
well, the Pac-12's doing what it can do.
If you're just going to back off.
What do you mean back off?
We'd love to have you.
That's
but
a lot of money. That's a big exit fee, and there's a reason for it. Because the AAC has been crumbling for years. Remember, there were 10 original members of the American Athletic Conference. You know how many are left?
Probably two.
Three. They've recruited Fresno State, Boise State, which is a great get. You must have forgotten Boise State.
I said Boise State.
Colorado State, which is a fantastic get as well.
It's a
and San Diego State. For their purposes, that's a good get. They're not going to be a Power 2 conference.
Right.
It's a good get. The Pac-12 is much better off now than it was a month ago.
I suppose, but it's much worse off than when it had UCLA, USC, Arizona.
Of course it is.
So what are we doing? They should have just let that conference go by the wayside.
Is the Big 12 better off?
Yes.
No, it's not. They lost Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah, but they've gotten...
You can't replace Oklahoma and Texas. You can't. It's impossible. You just can't do it.
You can't, but you...
No, you can't. You simply can't.
I didn't say you could.
You just said
Oklahoma,
it's better off.
Oklahoma, by the way, not that good.
But it doesn't matter. You look at one season... You look at
They'll
how,
never be good in the SEC.
You look at one season.
I'm going to look at 100 seasons.
And decide that Oklahoma and Texas, are you kidding?
Oklahoma will never make
Those
a dent
devastating
in
losses.
The SEC.
The Big 12 has done a good job recouping what it could, but you don't replace Oklahoma and Texas with Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah and think you've replaced them. Got that?
It's about as good as you're going to do.
I just said they've done a good job. But they can't replace Oklahoma and Texas.
Well, they can't replace Texas. They can replace Oklahoma.
Oh, Jeff. What universe are you living in?
I'm living in the universe where...
You know that if we sat down here today and
Oklahoma's
we started talking about...
Oklahoma's been set back 5 years.
And we started talking about the all-time great college football programs.
Well, we can talk...
Do you know the three that would get mentioned?
We can talk about Army and Navy, too, and Roger Staubach, but things change. And Oklahoma is not Oklahoma of even 3 years ago.
Do you know the three that would get mentioned the most? Name them.
No.
Alabama.
Miami, Michigan.
No, not Miami.
Ohio State. Why not Miami?
No.
Penn State would be up there.
No. It would be Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma.
I don't think Oklahoma's third.
That would be it.
I don't think Oklahoma.
You don't have
third.
Anybody else.
Yeah, what do you mean you don't have anybody else?
There's no one else you could even think about plugging in there.
I think Georgia now is better than Oklahoma's ever
been. You couldn't do Georgia now.
Of course you
Because you're
could.
Talking about... all-time programs.
Right, but I think Georgia is better now than Oklahoma's
well,
ever been.
Of course they are now. They're not
then,
better. Then they're not, they're better,
better than Oklahoma
wait,
has
say,
ever been.
They're better than Oklahoma has ever been.
Yeah,
did
that's
you just
correct.
Say that?
Yeah, that's correct.
You know, I did a show with a guy back in the day.
You say whatever you want.
And those are the kind of things that guy would say. And I just, I don't know.
You don't have to know.
You like to argue so much that you're willing to pick a nonsensical argument to argue.
They haven't won a national championship in 25 years. The one before that has been 40 years. The one before that's been 50 years. Whatever. Oklahoma's great. Georgia's about to win three in a row, perhaps. Or I don't know what they're about to do. Who cares? Did they win it last year? They won it last year.
No, they didn't. Michigan won
it
last year.
They won it the year before.
I mean, you're just popping off.
I'm just popping off. But no. Oklahoma's not.
But if you want people to listen to that opinion, you can't say they're about to win three in a row.
Well, aren't they? I meant the next three.
When last year they didn't win.
They didn't?
Listen, we're getting bogged down, but I'll just say this. The Big 12 has come out about as well as it could have, but losing Oklahoma and Texas,
by the way,
is a huge, huge blow. By the way, what?
By the way, Notre Dame isn't in that three?
No.
You know who has the most championships of all time in college football?
USC.
Yale. What does that tell you?
They're not in the three, obviously. For obvious reasons.
Maybe they should be.
Okay, put them in there.
You know, Yale, Alabama, Princeton, the three most.
There you go. Put them in there.
So I'll take Princeton. You can have Oklahoma.
We'll get some people on this week who know college football. In fact, we'll ask Blair Kirchhoff, coming up at 3:25, to name his three all-time greatest college football programs.
Georgia won the previous two.
Have we ever done that for a Bob and Jeff draft?
I'm sure we have.
I don't think we have.
We probably have. It sounds like something you'd come up with.
Maybe we'll do that here one of these days. Anyway.
Is Blair Kirchhoff next?
No. Tim Fitzgerald's next. We'll ask him for his three.
And we should.
And I guarantee you,
he's not going to put Oklahoma in it.
Well, don't put words into his mouth.
I think Alabama and Notre Dame are one and two.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
Thank you.
You're good at humor.
Why would Notre Dame not be on that list?
You're just funny.
Just tell me.
Because you're funny.
Thank you. Now tell me why Notre Dame wouldn't be on that list.
Not.
But why?
Because they just haven't sustained that level.
They are the most recognizable college football brand. What's the topic?
The greatest college football
program. And Notre Dame's up there.
Tim Fitzgerald, our guest, GoPowerCat.com, his publication. Long time. How many years now, Fitz, have you been involved in coverage of Kansas State athletics?
Well, I came full-time to the beat in 95, so I guess technically this is season 30. Holy crap.
That's a long time. That's a long time. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
In those 30 years, has there been, I don't know how to quite word this, but has there been a setback or a more disappointing result or a head-scratcher like Saturday night?
Maybe you can go back to, 2012 at Baylor when they fell apart with, you know, a trip to the national championship going. I mean, that had more stakes, but I haven't seen momentum flip and go against Kansas State like that in a very long time. It kind of did it to Oklahoma State a couple years ago in Manhattan with 45-0, but sometimes it just happens. And boy, that thing spun out of control in just a few minutes for Kansas State and went from a very winnable game to just an uphill battle that they didn't seem want to fight.
Can this? I guess the overall question is: we know now that it probably been several years since one loss really damaged your national championship hopes. We know that's not the case now. So, what does K-State have to do, big picture wise, to get back on that track potentially towards a Big 12 title game appearance? And can they take this show on the road and perform well in the Big 12?
Jeff, you nailed it. That's going to be the question. I mean, they struggled at Tulane. And you got Oklahoma State this weekend. You move into your off week, so you kind of get, you know, that five-game moment to recoup. But then you go to Boulder and Morgantown in back-to-back weeks, and if you're better than both of those teams, but I still think they're better than BYU, but they certainly weren't on that night. So you have to approach this as a business trip, get out there and take care of business, and they just haven't done that. And that might be partially because they've got some young kids and young guys in key places, and this is really their first opportunity. But, boy, it's not like a Chris Klieman team doesn't usually drop an early game. He's never gone 4-0 from what I think. And go back 2 years ago when they had a stinky loss, what we thought was at the time, to Tulane at home, and they went down to Oklahoma and won. So it hasn't necessarily been a reflection of who this team is overall, but we're going to find out a lot more about this football team on Saturday against OSU.
Tim Fitzgerald, our frequent guest with us on a Monday as we break down K-State's 38-9 loss to BYU. We were really hoping for a battle of unbeatens coming up Saturday in Manhattan between Oklahoma State and K-State. That's not going to happen. Oklahoma State also lost to Utah on Saturday. So there's a prevailing sentiment out here that Coach Klieman is not turning loose Avery Johnson, who's still a very young quarterback, relatively inexperienced. How do you break all that down? Is he guilty of maybe keeping the reins too tight? What do you think is in the offing? I think most of us who are aware of Avery and watched him at the high school level, which is not Big 12 level football, let me make that clear. But he has so much pizzazz. And I don't know that we're seeing pizzazz, are we?
No, we're not. I mean, even when he runs the ball, he doesn't quite seem to be himself. But I don't think it's from Klieman. I asked him a couple weeks ago about it. He said, Avery's never been told by the coaches not to run. And but I think in his mind is, I can't get hurt because there is a drop-off for K-State that's pretty significant from 1 to 2. Keep in mind, every scholarship player from last year's team left because of him, so they had to rebuild that room. And the main backup is a former walk-on that's now on scholarship, and Jacob Knuth, who looks good, but you know he's not Avery Johnson. And what I saw from him on Saturday, his second interception, he steps up, the pocket breaks open, he's got an opportunity to run and pick up the first down. He probably could have ran for about 20 yards and slid. Instead, he decides to throw the ball and throws it right to a BYU player. And I think that one jumped out at me the most, that it feels like someone's in his ears telling him, you got to prove you can pass the ball if you want to go to the NFL. Now, I mean, Lamar Jackson has overcome that. He was known as a runner and has proven himself. And I think Avery can follow the same suit. Just play your game, and the passing yards will come.
I'll take the coaches saying that he's not been told not to run at face value, and there was continuity. Connor Riley was there last year, of course, but if it had been Colin Klein as offensive coordinator, not only, I guess, in the bowl game last year, but, of course, this season, would Avery look different? Would his play be different than what it is so far?
Great question, and I honestly don't know because I remember talking to Colin about him, and he said, yeah, he's no way I'm going to have him run like the ball like I did. He's not big enough to take that beating, and I agree with that. But I think you got to keep that dimension of run in this offense to make it really effective. BYU was focused on not letting him run, and he still was able to run. But I think his best opportunities are going to be when things just flat open up and he can take off. So, the thing about Colin Klein, K-State, is like if he was here, look at what he's doing at A&M. He's struggling. They're not putting up a lot of points. And sometimes a new coordinator just has to settle in a little bit and kind of learn what's around him and learn what works. And I think that Connor Riley's going through the same growth process as Colin is now coaching for an SEC team.
Tim Fitzgerald, our guest, GoPowerCat.com, his publication. BYU put up 38 points, including 31 in the second and third quarters when that game just went on its head, but didn't do a whole lot yardage-wise. Back to K-State's offense for a second. Do you like this receiving core? How much upside is there in that unit?
I think there's been some disappointment with them. But we saw Jace Brown and Keegan Johnson come up with some big catches. And there was a obvious drop for first down by Jaden Jackson. Dante Cephas hasn't proven reliable. I think they need to reassess who they're putting on the field. And, just the best athlete isn't necessarily the best player. Because I also think another issue with Avery's running is he's not getting some of the downfield blocks that he needs. The guys are just kind of giving up on plays. So, yeah, I hope they reevaluate who they're putting on the field at receiver. Because I'll tell you this, I've said this on our podcast, Ty Bowman may not be the athlete of those other two guys I mentioned, but he's a pretty good athlete. He's 6'5", and he's going to do things right. I know he's going to throw the blocks and run the right patterns because that's who Ty is. And I'd give him a shot at this point. I don't care what happens in practice. If the guys aren't doing it in the game, that's really what happens and what counts the most.
We were talking last week about, K-State, Oklahoma State. At that point, looked like maybe the best game the Big 12 had to offer all year, or one of them at least, arguably that. So which of these teams can least afford a second loss?
Probably Oklahoma State. I think they got some more challenges, maybe steeper than K-State. I don't know. I haven't really looked at their schedule. But they're in trouble. K-State hasn't carved out its identity because it's got a new quarterback, and they need to figure out what exactly they're going to do. And honestly, going back to what we started with, I don't think the coaches are doing the right stuff right now. Oklahoma State has a proven line, a proven quarterback, and what we thought would be the best running back in college football, and they can't run the damn ball. And so I think that's a sign of bigger problems there at Oklahoma State than what K-State is messing around with, because K-State runs the ball well. They even ran it well, at BYU. They had 120-some more yards than the Cougars. Just they gave up two non-offensive touchdowns and two short field touchdowns, and there you go. You got blown out because of that.
Visiting here with Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com, Oklahoma State, then you mentioned the road games, Colorado, West Virginia, and then the KUK State game on October 26th in Manhattan. I got to ask you, Kansas just can't quite seem to get there. This is a strange year across college football. Jeff and I were talking. We make picks every year, and we pick against the point spread, and we're all, there's five of us who do it, and we're all just below water trying to pick these games. It's just kind of crazy so far.
I think the transfer portal has had some interesting effects on college football. A lot of those players that were second or third string at the SEC have transferred out and spread out the wealth a little bit. They've come to realize, I went to this big school and I thought I was going to play a lot, and I'm not. I want to go someplace to play. So it's evening out the talent. But also, I think there's a factor of unpredictability. You can bring in some transfer portal guys, and they may not pan out. You might have adopted someone else's problems with the player, and it kind of lessens your own team. Maybe it hurts the locker room. So I think the portal's doing a lot of this. But also, I think there's been enough upsets now where teams just believe. They're not fearless going into places. If it's Bowling Green pushing A&M and College Station or anything else, it's just been a chaotic year, and I think it's good for football and proves why the theory of a super conference doesn't make much sense if these schools are having problems beating not even Power Four teams. They struggle right now with some teams that aren't even near the Power Four, and I think it proves the Power Conference idea, the one giant conference, is kind of silly.
And we were talking before we started with your interview, about we were trying to figure out the three greatest college football programs in history. And, of course, I like putting people on the spot. So who would they be in your opinion, Fitz?
I'd probably go, that is really good, Notre Dame, Michigan. And I might go to Nebraska. That shows how far
you're
fallen.
Fired.
I think Oklahoma is teetering on the brink of following Nebraska, where they went from being a feared and dominant program in one conference to just another team in another conference, and they may not get the respect, they may not get the breaks, they might not get the right calls, to be blunt. And I think Oklahoma's kind of find themselves in that position really quick with a really tough schedule.
Yeah, I can see that. I had Alabama, Ohio State, and Oklahoma as my three. Jeff didn't really have three.
I just knew Oklahoma wasn't in it, and Notre Dame was. And Alabama. Yeah,
Alabama, you know, I guess there was that such a long stretch in there, you know, when they had Shula coaching and when they were just not good. So
Gene Stallings.
Oh, God, the Gene Stallings era. I'm surprised I don't have a statue of him. yeah, there was just some years that were a mess. And look, they've hit gold twice with two coaches that are two of the absolute best of all time.
All right, always a pleasure. K-State at home Saturday, 11 o'clock kick against Oklahoma State. KFH, of course, your home for K-State athletics. Tim, thanks.
Thanks, boys. Great to hear from you.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. We will take a break, come back with an hour more of the Bob and Jeff Show. Blair Kirchhoff will join us in hour number two from the Kansas City Star. Stay with us.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.